podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to Club Deck Corner here on Club At 22, the Rangers podcast. What a week it has been, and there will certainly be no booing of Santa on this podcast. I am Scott Carney, and joining me tonight for a positive podcast. The positive podcast is back, is first of all, even Alistair Pearson. Ali, how are you?
Very well. It's been a very, very good week. Obviously with Betis, and then obviously won the League Cup, so couldn't have gone any better, to be honest. And it'd be good to see if Santa comes out at half-time at Ibrox tomorrow night. Maybe we'll give him an applause to her or so.
I reckon if Santa comes out at Ibrox tomorrow night, he'll get like the biggest ovation of his entire life, I would expect. I hope Rangers don't do that, but yeah, you never know. And Jamie McKay. Jamie, how are you, mate? Suffering a bit with man flu?
I'm suffering with the man flu, but I'm clinging on for dear life, mate. Aye, but what a few days, and also it's good to see you come over at my place back on the Rangers playlist again at Hampden on Sunday. So, a few happy bears.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. A very, very enjoyable day indeed. Ryan passes on his apologies. Ryan's got a chest infection. The Club Cup final has taken him and it's won. So Ryan's in his sick bed. So get well soon, mate. Hopefully see you back in not too long at all. Before we go any further, as you can see scrolling along the bottom of the screen, if you're watching us, it's time to talk about our live show. So yes, tickets are still available for Club At 22 Live at the Loudoun with special guest Stevie Clifford from Four Lads of the Dream. Tickets are only £7 and the Loudoun will be putting out pies for the breaks, which is very kind of them. Raffle prizes are being sourced as we speak and we will be donating the proceeds of the raffle to the Rangers Charity Foundation. So please come along. It promises to be a fantastic night. Plus we have just won a cup. And I'm pretty sure, even by the 19th of January, we'll all still be wanting to talk about it. So to get your tickets, click in the link. The description is in for this podcast. The link is in the description for this podcast, even if I put my teeth in, I'll be able to say that properly. And yeah, Club At 22 at the Loudoun, Friday the 19th of January 2024, with special guest Stevie Clifford from Four Lads Had a Dream. So yes, for those that have asked as well already, the tickets will be sent out after the new year, so don't worry, I've got your orders, everything is fine. If you booked it and you get the confirmation email, it's all well and good. The tickets will be out just after the new year, so just bear with me. You will definitely get your ticket. But yes, Ali, the live show, mate, it's going to be even much better, the fact that we won the cup, is it not?
And hopefully by then we're sitting, well, hopefully we're beating Celtic at Parkhead, potentially the way games could go, potentially could be top of the league. I know they'll always have the game in hand, regardless, because obviously they played at the weekend there, so there'll be a game. We play a game in hand, St John's tomorrow night, but there's another game in hand, so we won't play that to the new year. But aye, it's all positive. So hopefully, by the time it comes to a live show, January's at time. I'm always, I know folks sometimes think it's good to get a wee break, but after a couple of days of not having Rangers, you're like, I want something. So I'd like to think a lot of folk would come along. £7, I think it's. I think you've priced it pretty well, Carney, to come and see us clowns up on the stage. So and Stevie Clifford's here as well, and also the free pie. So I think it'll be a good night, and folks should come along and get involved with it. And they can get to talk to us as well. Ask us any question they want.
Yeah, literally any question that they wish, mate. Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it, Jamie. This kind of harks back to our childhood, mate. Me and you've been on a stage together, because for those that don't know, me and Jimmy were in a band together for years and we actually thought we were something.
Oh, aye. This is getting back to the band days. I mean, don't bring a guitar because we were that bad. So, no, I think the Loudoun Tavern pies are going to definitely be the highlight. No music involved this time, Scotia.
Definitely. None of us, we're not doing a tune. Please, nobody even ask us to do a tune, because it certainly is not happening. That was a different era. Seems like a lifetime ago. You've got to think, mate, that's like, what, 20 years ago we were doing that?
Aye. Like, and maybe a wee bit more as well.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Aye, we'll stick to the Rangers songs these days in our old age, mate.
Definitely, mate. Safe. Definitely. Safe as houses. So yeah, hopefully you can make it along. It'd be really good to see. So tickets are selling. They're selling well. But I don't want people to miss out. Understand the time of year and that it is. Hence why I think we've kind of went in at £7, which is a cracking deal. I think for all of us, a free pie. We're doing the charity foundation raffle, and plus you'll get to meet Stevie as well. Stevie will be there to pass his opinions and things, and hopefully we're sitting very pretty at the top of the league as well as winning the League Cup, which would be absolutely smashing. Promises to be a great night, and it's just before the Dumbarton game, so it's just a build up again to the start of the football proper returning. Just before we move on any further, Dundee Taylor, I have to give a massive shout out to him. He bought the podcast 3 coffees. Very much appreciated, Dundee. You're always in there with the coffee buying, so I really do appreciate that. If you'd like to do the same, you can support this podcast to reach the next level by joining the channel for as little as 99p a month. You can also buy the podcast a coffee and join the Coffee Buying Legend membership via buymeacoffee.com. All the links are in the description for this podcast. Right, gentlemen, Rangers, we will start with a quick touch on the Betis game, because I'm very aware that I was the only one on Thursday and Friday last week to give my reaction to it. Ali, I know we did a brief bit as we were outside the Loudon on Saturday there, but we done things a hard way. Yes, we did, but it was the start of two pretty fantastic games, and this one can't really be underestimated either. The effort that the team put on Thursday night in order to get us over the line, and ultimately, mate, we got the job done. Another night in Europe that Rangers can be proud of.
Yeah, it was. I didn't see it coming, Carney. But at the same time, speaking to Ryan when we were on that cruise, we said we wouldn't be surprised if Rangers won it, because it was I didn't think it was a pressure game for Rangers. They weren't expected to win it. The injuries we had, etc. But it wasn't a shock for me that they won it. Betis, I'll be honest. Betis, when it came to Ibrox, Carney, I didn't think they were that great, to be honest. Against the Michael Beale team at that time. But obviously, their record at home speaks for itself. Undefeated this calendar year, through with Real Madrid the game previous. So, some achievement by Rangers with the players out, Carney. Players in positions they don't play, like Sterling, etc. Lammers having to play, Dessers having to play. These guys have been a bit of a joke figure this season. So, phenomenal achievement, Carney. And going into the last 16, we've skipped that round. There's more money in the coffers now for Clermont, hopefully in January, maybe reinvest in the team. So, yeah. Positives, because at one point I honestly thought after the Limassol game it was conference for us. I really did, if I'm being honest. So getting that was a huge, huge bonus for Rangers, and more importantly financially, because I think it'll give him something in January to invest in this squad, because I don't think the Rangers board would have thought after Limassol we would have topped that group.
I don't think many would have, mate. I think we might have uttered the words to each other in the car after a Limassol game, mate, that we're probably not getting through. Yeah, this probably isn't going to happen. I think we would have, because realistic, yeah, I know some people see it as being negative, but sometimes you think to yourself, nah, I can't really see it. But Jamie, the way that the team performed, especially in that second half, I thought the first half was a bit harum scarum, kind of. Two really good goals by Betis, two really good goals from us. But Rangers hung out there in the second half, and we left everything on the pitch. And Kamar Roof comes on and does what Kamar Roof does, Mr. 6-yard box, mate, and gets a result. But it's a cracking result for Rangers, and it really, as Ali says, we miss out a round and we go straight into the round after. So it's a real positive for the club and Clermont.
Aye. No, it was a huge game, and it's like, I think it's one of the games we've been looking for to be a catalyst to kick on. I think we thought the kick on was going to be if we won on Sunday there, but really it was such a huge performance and a huge result in Europe. It's the first time we've won in Spain as well in Europe, which is just absolutely mind blowing for these players to go and actually get that done. But on the whole, I just thought a proper top Rangers away performance as well. I don't think there was really that many players that were on the pitch that were that bad. I mean, Sam Lammers with a few kind of hesitant touches, as he usually does. But I mean, I think from front to back, I think we were brilliant. And then Dezers with his goal as well was just unbelievable. I thought they'd replaced him with the OGR9. So it was actually that good. So nah, it was a really great performance. And it was good to be a Rangers fan Thursday.
Absolutely, yeah, it was superb. Yeah, and no. no negatives on Lammers, not tonight. We're not doing that tonight. We'll not be negative. I'll give him a pass this week. But no, it was a massive achievement and a real springboard into Sunday. And into Sunday we'll go. Obviously we won the Viaplay League Cup on Sunday. We won the League Cup on Sunday. It's just nice to say that. It feels really good to be able to say that after 12 years. Obviously by beating Aberdeen by a goal to nil. A late second half goal by who else? Mr. James Tavernier. Jamie, I'll come back to you. Fantastic achievement. The long overdue. But the cup is now back where it belongs, mate.
No, I mean we've been waiting on it for over a decade, haven't we? And it's been the one that's escaped us. And it's always like typically for a domestic season, we spoke about it last week on the pod as well, Scott, that really it's you can kick on from a League Cup win. Really I didn't think it was really that in doubt from us. I think it was a bit of a slow start. I'm sure we'll come on to the performance on the whole, but to have it back at Ibrox and then to see the scenes after as well, the fans back there. I was getting underground back home from town, from Shield Road, and I met a wee boy and his dad, and the wee boy was just delighted. And see, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Because it's these generations of fans hadn't seen it yet, so it's brilliant to see.
Yeah, as you say, I know you're new to the pod, Jamie, and just so people understand, obviously, me and Jamie are exactly the same age, 3 days apart our birthdays are, and we grew up watching Rangers win everything. That was kind of what we done, and the League Cup was one of those things that we always won. And to go so long without it, it kind of boggles my mind when I think that the last time we won that was that Jelovic goal, and it kind of, like, I can't believe that's how long ago that was, but ultimately it is, but it feels very good. Ali, Jamie touched on the scenes, even at Hampden, but afterwards as well, at Ibrox, when the players going to Edmondson House, the pictures that you were seeing from the manager walking with the trophy and stuff, everything about it. The rest of Scottish football will wonder, always underplay anything that Rangers ever do well, mate, and they can and they will, and that's just the way of life because they hate us and we're all absolutely fine with that. But it can't be underestimated just how big an achievement this is for the club, how big an achievement this is for Clement. Because that was a massive, massive pressure game for him. It might not have seemed like a lot. I know it was Aberdeen, if you were like, and we're expected to beat Aberdeen. But coming off the back of Thursday night, with the depleted squad that we have, the pressure would have been huge on Clement. And it would have, losing that final would have put pressure on him. Whether we like to admit it or not, it would have put pressure on him. But to see him and to see how much he enjoyed it, it was a real special day on Sunday.
Oh, it was brilliant. Rangers had to win on Sunday, Carney. See, if Rangers didn't win, that balloon would have been popped for me. I know if you look at the overall picture, but they're in the league, etc., etc. But, I mean, all of us, before we went to the game, were sitting. None of us were confident, Carney, because every pressure game Rangers were into, they failed pretty much. But then you thought, winning Betis, you would like to think, being a player out in Betis, doing what they did, they'd be desperate to go into this cup final and lift a cup. And they were Rangers. They're the better team overall. Slow start. Second half, I could feel it coming, Carney. You know how Aberdeen play. They niggly fouls, play for second balls, set pieces, etc. So that's what they're looking for. Dealt them comfortably, but it's huge for Rangers. And you can tell by Clement, his reaction after the game, it was massive. And the fans as well, Carney. You could just see what it meant to everyone. Even after, we were in Churchill afterwards, and it was a great night, having a sing-song, etc. But that's what it should be, Carney. You going about yourself and Jamie, I'm slightly older than you two there, but we've grown up and seen it all and spoilt, to be honest, at the beginning, because we're used to seeing Rangers lift trophies every season. Similar to Celtic fans at the moment, they've been spoilt rotten with getting trophies lifted, and you see what happens to them after they lose a couple of games. But this is what
it's spectacular, isn't it?
It's
brilliant, isn't it?
It's quite funny, but it's true. They've been spoiled on. We were spoiled on in the 90s, etc. as well. This is what Rangers should be doing, Carney. Rangers should be lifting cups. I mean, the amount of times Ryan comes on this podcast and goes, he just wants to see shiny things flung in front of him in terms of cups and leagues. And to me, it's a great winning the League Cup's a big one because you can use it as a catalyst to kick on the season. And then you look where we are in the league now, Carney. Nobody ever thought for a second we'd be sitting where we are in the league. Nobody. So it's there for Rangers, and they need to use that League Cup win on Sunday as momentum into these games before the winter break for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're right in terms of talking about the game. I don't want to be too critical of the performance because I don't think it's really relevant. It's all about winning. Nobody remembers how good you played in a final. It's if you won the final or you don't. And we did. So we did. All you'll remember is that goal from James Tavernier. You won't remember very much else. You remember bits of the scenes afterwards and stuff, and Tavernier with the trophy, Clement with the trophy, Barisic with his flag. They kind of things, that's the things that you remember. But you won't remember the performance. So I'm not too bothered either by the kind of the standard that was on show. It was a horrific day. The weather was awful. The pitch is a disgrace. We all know that it's an absolute disgrace. And ultimately, we went out there and Aberdeen didn't really lay a glove on us, really. After watching the game back, we were never in really any great danger. We were dealing with much. Apart from that one flash ball in the second half that they put across our goal, but there was nobody obviously on the end of it. That was the only time where I felt like, oh, like you kind of take that deep in intake of breath because you thought that could have been a goal there. But apart from that, the goal was coming. And I say, I think it's just so... It's so fitting that James Tavernier manages to get the goal. And I think from the stats that I've checked, Aberdeen didn't have a shot on target. We had six on target. Their keeper was the busier of the two. Whether you like it or not, I don't really like the European hangover thing, but that's a hell of an effort we put in on Thursday night to come in and then go again. And a very heavy pitch on the Sunday, and constantly have to be fully concentrated to a long ball coming, because that's really all Aberdeen planned to do, was to win second balls after a long ball, and I thought we managed it very, very well. But Jamie, I'll come to you about James Tavernier. I am for one of going, I was querying him maybe getting dropped and maybe seeing Sterling coming in at times because I thought the defensive was poor. We were also in the midst of a Beale disaster, which was, I think, clouding judgment on a lot of things because of where we are and the standard of football we were seeing. But see, for me now, this chat of James Tavernier needs dropped, that needs to stop, it really does. I think the effort that this guy has shown this club over this period of being here, really, he's really now just, if anything, reassuring everybody that his place in the Hall of Fame is thoroughly deserved now. And this is, again, in my opinion. But the effort this guy puts in for our football club, to me, it's unrivaled.
100%. I mean, whenever there's a big result that doesn't go our way, it's Tav that kind of gets it in the neck. And I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. At times, I've been a wee bit scathing at Tav, especially in a defensive sense, in a positional sense. There's been some times that he's came into questions. However, the stats don't lie. His return for us is just fantastic. And as well, in terms of big games and stepping up in big games, we needed him on Sunday. And it was starting to get a little bit flat. And as Ali said earlier on, you could kind of sense a goal coming after, I think it was a couple of free kicks we had. And you knew it was coming. And I think it just kind of felt like fate that it was going to be Tav that scored it. But yeah, no, I completely agree. We can rely on him. And I think there was a very healthy debate about the whole Hall of Fame thing and if he was deserving to actually be in there. I think now he's done the clean sweep of domestic trophies in Scotland. And you're just hoping, what's that? He's 32. He's got a couple of more years left and he can put a few more in his trophy cabinet for finishing.
Yeah, Ali, Jamie's spot on. He's lifted every domestic trophy. Now, arguably, yes, there's an argument in that he should have lifted more, yes, but he can't literally do it all himself. There's been obviously certain players that have let him down. And Conor Goldson made a point after the game that he said Rangers fans won't know, or this club won't know what James Tavernier is until James Tavernier isn't here anymore. And I thought, you are absolutely spot on. This guy deserves a break now. He really does deserve a break because we needed someone to stand up, mate, and be counted. And even when Tav talks about the goal after it, he knew he could score from that position. He knew where the space was going to be for him to get that goal. And after it, all I could do was just commend him. I thought, that's absolutely spectacular from your captain.
Yeah. I mean, we, after that Aberdeen game at Ibrox, when Beale was ultimately billeted after that, we all had a discussion and should he be stripped of the captaincy, should he be dropped. And I think we all agreed he should be dropped, etc. Maybe even, I think I even said he should be, the new manager should make a point and take the captaincy off him possibly. But back then, it wasn't a good time under Beale, so it's hard to, when you actually sit back and look at it, Tav was never the issue in the Rangers team, and he never has been. It's other players around him. But he's been brilliant to have. £200,000 we paid for him, Carney.
Ah, unreal, mate.
200 grand for Wigan. I mean, and the figures, the stats, what Jamie's on about, I mean, they don't lie. How many goals this guy's scored? How many big goals he's scored? You think of that Europa League run, how many goals did he score for us in that Europa League run? Big goals. And again, he stepped up with a big goal. Since Clement came in, Carney, I think he's been probably one of our better players, Tav. Scored a lot of goals. I think he's our top goal scorer this season so far, Tav. And they're not all penalties. I'm pretty sure our top goal scorer now.
Is it Seema?
I don't know. Tav's up there. Maybe it is Seema, but he's right up there anyway. But I don't think we'll be able to replace him, Carney. What he does, what he gives us, up and down the park, goals. Rangers wouldn't have enough money to replace him in terms of if you went to go, when I mean, buy a guy that's ready-made. They'll need to go with somebody that's maybe a development-type player to come in there, and maybe similar to when we got Tav all those years ago. But he's... how many years has he been at Rangers? 7, 8 years or something?
I think 7 to 8 years now.
It was when Warburton came in, wasn't it? Since then. And I actually seen somebody, it was a fan on Twitter, actually at Mark Warburton, say, thanks very much for buying Taff. And you get back him, no bother, mate. A thumbs up. But I mean, like, but Ali's right. He's been here. You forget he's been here that long, and in the trials and tribulations that he's been through as a club captain, and the different managers he's been through. I think that's why he's questioned as well. It's because he's not seen off a few managers, but he's been in that same team. And as we're just talking about there, he's not the issue. But yeah, as Ali was saying, I think the chat about stripping the captain and all that, I think a majority of the Rangers fans would have probably been agreeing with you after that Aberdeen game. But it's good to see him back and performing to the best of his ability as well.
Absolutely. And I think I seen a tweet that said, I'm actually beginning to love this bar steward, but not bar steward word. Again, and he's like, I hate myself, and I'm just like, well, you really shouldn't. James Tavernier, he just proves he's worth to me time and time again. Again, I get doubted, he gets the majority of the blame for stuff, and then he goes and pulls it out of the bag like that. So no, I'm delighted for Tavernier, I really, really am. Come on, Ali, I'll come back to you. He knows what he's doing. I mean, I just have the feeling with Clement that he very much just knows what he's doing. This is him with... Can you call it that? Can you call him the dregs of what Beale had left over? Maybe not the dregs. I think there's some players in there, but he's certainly doing his best to try and polish it. Some of them that are a bit not up to standard anyway. But I'm excited to see more of him, mate. And the players that he's going to be buying. The players that he's going to obviously look to bring in. Obviously, when it gets to January, sorry, lost my train of thought a wee bit there. He's looking. This bit of it excites me because this team now, and I know we went through this bounce, the new manager bounce, and then we hit a wee dip, and all of a sudden, oh, the new manager bounce is gone. But then we've had two massive games results. So these players are beginning to buy into this. They really are beginning to buy into him. And now with a transfer window coming up, be it loans, be it getting rid of people before we bring people in, I don't think it really matters. He's still going to get a few players that he wants to bring in here. I'm so excited for the future, wonder him, and I'm trying not to get too carried away because I know what happened under Michael Beale, I get that, but right now I'm going, everything that you're doing, everything that's asked of you, that you're getting asked of, in terms of these big games, in terms of these big moments that we haven't been capitalising on and taking our opportunities, he's doing it.
Ah, he's a proper manager, can't he? I mean, Michael Beale had a very good start to his Rangers career, but big games, i.e., League Cup, last against League Cup final.
I know I've not an old firm yet as well.
Failed. You look at the team he put out and everyone went, fussy den, and we ultimately failed. Clement knows what he's doing, Carney. He's getting a tune out of some of these players. He'll know by now what players he wants shot of, which isn't easy to get shot at players, but he'll know. And I'm the same as you. I'm excited to see what he'll be like when he brings in players that he's worked with, he knows, he wants to bring in, because he's... He's turned us into what we wanted, Carney. He's turned us into a football team. You can see how the way he plays. You can see the system that he's working to. You couldn't see under Beale. But I just think everything about him, he's got a presence about him, the way the players talk about him, the belief he's put into these players. He's a proper top manager, Carney. One of the press guys asked him today something about pretty much a faultless start to his Rangers career. Could he have dreamed it any better? And then they kind of went, well, we've dropped points in the league, so it's not, it could have been better. And I like that, because it's true, though. It's true. Like that Aberdeen game, he's probably talking about the one he's draw. But for me, yeah, when he first came, I didn't think we'd be sitting where we are right now, Carney. I really didn't, in terms of those group of players and the injuries we've got since he's come in. That's the one thing he said about this team, about injuries. And when he's come in, Christ, injuries have got bloody worse. it'll be exciting to see January. But mainly next season for me, Carney, when he's got a proper pre-season and he's got a proper squad in for him to see what he works with. But,
and after we've won the quadruple, yeah, is that what you mean?
Yes, after we've been to Dublin. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, after we've been to Dublin. then we'll see what he's all about after we've won the quadruple. Yeah, I get that. Jamie, I think Ali makes a point there about the injuries, and I think that's even more credit to Clement for the fact that even with this kind of injury-stricken team that we have and the problems that seem to run deep with the injuries within the squad, he's still managing to get a tune out of these players. And he's very much, if you've seen the away days thing on Rangers TV, after the full-time whistle, he turns round to the young boys and he said, that's the first. And that was it. That's the first. And I'm like, yes, like more of this. Quite quickly, I think Clement has completely understood what he has to do here. And winning is the only option. There is no alternative to it. And he's very much of that mindset. But so far, mate, the guy's report card for me is as good as flawless, really.
Aye. I mean, he's just a total mentality monster. And that's what fits in so well with Glasgow Rangers, because we're obviously built to win. We're built to win every single game and every single competition we're in. So really, it fits perfectly. In terms of the squad that he's inherited, I mean, probably a shining example in the last three games, especially, is Sterling playing out of position in central midfield, playing the way he did on Sunday. That's no fluke. That's coached. That's a manager. That's somebody that knows what they're talking about. And that's the guy we've got at the helm. And I think that's the best reason to be super positive if you're a Rangers fan.
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. And Sterling was actually the next guy I was going to speak about. But you're right. It's not. Clement hasn't flung something at a wall and hope it stuck with Sterling. He's seen something in him and thought, you could do what I want you to do in that area of the pitch, and he's coached him on how to do it. I'm of the opinion that is Sterling's position now. It's up to whoever's coming back from injury, whenever they wish to come back, it's up to them to win that jersey. So I'm interested to hear your opinion. Both your opinions would be, Jamie, what would you say? Would you say that Sterling is he's the partner for Lundstrom going forward just now?
He's cemented that place now. He's cemented that place. It's not as if he's going away to Betis. They've not been beat at home. It was also a very volatile atmosphere in that stadium. He's went away and played absolutely brilliantly in that game. And then he's been superb in the centre of the park in at Hampden on Sunday. So I think obviously there's chat of Ryan Jack coming back for injury, but it's his position to lose now. There's absolutely no way he can be dropped from that position. And as I say, like everyone knows how good Lundstrom's been. Along with Tav, I think he's probably been one of the most improved players under Clement. So he's going to have to do a lot wrong to lose that centre midfield space. So I would say the rest of the midfielders are out at the moment in injury. They've got to be lucky to get back in there, definitely.
Yeah, they've definitely got their work cut out to get that jersey back, in my opinion. Yeah. Ali, your thoughts on Sterling? I think he's... I know we speak about Tavernier and Lundstrom being the back in form, I would say anyway, back to what we're used to seeing under from these two players under Clement. But Sterling, for me, is just like, it's like a kind of out of nowhere kind of player. And it always happens usually when a manager comes in, he'll identify a player and he'll really coach them and he'll really push them through. But for me, Sterling's he's nailed down that position now.
Yeah, when I first seen Sterling, but we've seen him at right back against, I think it was the League Cup early doors, one of the rounds or something, and we've seen him at left back now and again. I thought he was all right, but he never stood out for me, Carney. I never thought, well, what a player he's going to be, or he could push to have. I always thought he was all right. But the last two games, Carney, he took his chance, didn't he? He's cemented it. You look at the midfield now, Cifuentes looks like he's injured for, well, we don't know when he's injured for. Ryan Jack, is he back before Christmas? Is it after Christmas? To me, you write Ryan Jack off to after January. So
yeah, I agree.
He's a guy with a shot for me, Carney. He's athletic, quick, good with the ball at his feet. I think he complements Lundstrom quite well in there. So for me, he's got a jersey. I've had a lot of people this week use a comparison of, and I'm not saying he is this player, in terms of Bassey, in terms of how Bassey came into the team. He found himself in the team because of what happened to Hollander, and you look what happened to him, and he made that position his own going to the end of the season. And it's a kind of similar at the moment in terms of the way he's come in. So it's, yeah, he's got, I agree with yourself and Jamie, he's got the shirt going forward, Carney, and I'm more than happy. I'm in the middle of the park. He has a bit of dig for me in the middle of the park as well, Carney. He's strong as well. I think we lack physicality in the middle of the park at times, and he brings it for me. And him and Lundstrom going forward for me is a good partnership.
Absolutely. Just quickly, I always say one word answers. Jamie, you'll get used to this. I say it to Ali, and Ali will give me probably about four essays worth of an answer. John Lundstrom, mate, on this form, the way he is, new contract?
100%.
Ali?
Yes.
He actually gave me one word. He was trying to prove a point there. Did you see that? He was trying to prove a point. I think the same, though. We all know the kind of player that Lundstrom can be. I think we were all getting a wee bit dragged into the nervousness of he did previous of this from Sheffield United, where he just kind of fell off a cliff and he didn't really get any sort of form back. But what we're seeing under Clement, for me, I think it's kind of a no-brainer to at least give him a year anyway and see where we are, or 2 years even, just whatever we need to do. But if he continues like this for the rest of the season, I don't think there'll be any great danger in them offering a new contract. So because of my really poor planning, and I've not asked the lads, I'm not sure if we're actually on Friday or not, so I'm going to do this as a precaution. It's time for a word from our sponsors. The season for a fresh cut is finally here with the sponsors of this podcast, Manscaped. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming have just launched their fifth-generation lawnmower to help you avoid another silent night in the bedroom this year. Take care of your South Pole with Manscaped and watch it shine like never before. Get the best stocking filler of all by going to manscaped.com using the code CLUBAT22 for 20% off and free shipping. Mrs. Claus will thank you. Starting with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, this is the crown jewel of the holidays and, dare I say it, the best ball trimmer of all time. The electric razor's advanced skin-safe technology is a lifesaver and known for reducing nicks and cuts on your Santa sack. But the fun doesn't stop there. The Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver, which is Ali's absolute favourite, are a must-buy Christmas gift for all his facial hair needs. Also, save the day with the Weedwacker 2.0 Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take care of those chestnuts with Manscaped's Boxers 2.0, featuring the signature dual pouch to keep you calm, cool and collected. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CLUBAT22 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code CLUBAT22 at manscaped.com. Say ho, ho, ho to a well-groomed mistletoe with Manscaped. Thank you to Manscaped for their continued support. Really do appreciate it. Their stuff is genuinely fantastic. Brilliant Christmas gift for man or woman, to be fair. I think they've got quite a lot of women products as well. So yeah, man or woman. And yeah, if you use our code, you'll be supporting our podcast. So thank you very much for that. And if you come to the live night and enter the raffle, you'll give me a chance of winning a pack of some sort, whatever one it may be. But you'll give me a chance of winning that. So yes. I don't know if we are on Friday, because I've still not actually confirmed the misses that I might actually be going out on Friday. So usual stuff for professionalism and everything that runs with this podcast. But I'll get back to you about that play, let you know tomorrow after the game. Before we come on to the St Johnstone game, we will just speak about a bit of news that came out earlier today, and it was the fact that there's going to be no fans at the Old Firm game at Parkhead on the 30th of December. So I'll read the club statement. Despite winning a case to put an SPFL board subcommittee, Rangers FC, with extreme disappointment, will not have any supporters present at Parkhead for the Old Firm match on December the 30th. The subcommittee agreed with Rangers that Celtic's FC stance of providing zero tickets to Rangers fans was unreasonable. Despite the fact that the subcommittee agreed with Rangers, the subcommittee was unwilling to determine what reasonable number of tickets for the fixture would be. It says subcommittee a lot in this statement. The subcommittee was unable to determine the reasonable number due to the fact that the other party had not submitted enough evidence on this issue, despite having ample opportunity to do so in the weeks and months leading up to the hearing. Rangers' position has always been clear. We want away fans from all clubs at our stadium and wish for that to be reciprocated when we travel to other clubs' grounds. This decision calls into question the effectiveness and highlights the procedural defects of SPFL Rule 127. To Rangers, it's grossly unfair that the club, in this case Celtic, fails to submit sufficient evidence as part of such proceedings. It effectively ties the hands of the subcommittee in being able to determine what a reasonable number of tickets should be, especially when the subcommittee agrees that the reasonable number cannot be zero. Conversely, if a club, in this case Rangers, complies fully and provides all necessary information in good faith, it can still be penalised. The club will consider its position before participating in any further SPFL-led hearings. Rangers, alongside several other SPFL clubs, also looks forward to the overdue findings of the ongoing protracted SPFL governance review. Rangers will be making no further comment at this time. Ali, a subcommittee that does nothing is the most SPFL thing I've ever heard of.
What's the point of it? What's the point?
There's literally no point in it at all.
This coming out today is no shock to me. See, I knew we were getting no tickets. Celtic, if when it's our ball, and that's the end of it. They're not engaging with this subcommittee, so it's a joke, Carney. It's tit for tat. We could be up with this on our podcast on its own. We've covered it on the podcast. Celtic want the full broom loan. That's what they want. They want the full broom loan back. Rangers have went, you ain't getting the full broom loan back. So it's tit for tat with the two of them at the moment. I can't see them coming to an agreement. For me, it should be the European allowance. But again, it's another podcast on its own. But this subcommittee, there's no point in it. It's Celtic haven't engaged with them. Apparently, I've watched the news tonight and Celtic are saying that's not the truth. So I'm interested to see what they say after it. But waste of time, Carney. And it's a pity because these guys that want to go there to tip our kids, yeah, it might only be 900 tickets, but still a lot of guys that want to go there. They want to be there. They want to show the support for the team. And ultimately, Celtic have just went, nah, you're not coming. They've decided Celtic, not this subcommittee. Celtic have decided. So to me, that's more motivation for Rangers when they go to Parkhead on the 30th, Carney, to beat them in their backyard with all their fans there. So that's the motivation for me, but not shocked at all.
No, Jamie, it's becoming pretty pathetic now and embarrassing, really, really, for Scottish football as a whole, for this to continue on. And look, I'm not going to be naive here. I'll slightly tip down my blue tinted glasses. Rangers have a part to play in it. I do get that, but I am more understanding of the Rangers' point of view than I am than Celtic's, because they cited safety concerns at Ibrox, which is nonsense. It's just an absolute farce, and it's a made up rule to get out of it. I do believe that Celtic are trying to hardball Rangers and that they're trying their hardest to make Rangers fall, and Rangers are just not really going to put up with it. But this subcommittee thing, it's nothing to do with the subcommittee. Celtic have went, you're not getting any tickets because we say so, and the SPFL subcommittee have just went, okay.
So is the subcommittee the Celtic board? That's what I'm struggling to understand.
Probably, you know what I mean? I'd imagine it's chaired by Lovell, yeah.
Aye, it sounds a hell of a lot like that. I mean, obviously, that the whole thing splits opinion within Rangers fans. As you say, we've got our part to play on it. It seems like now a case of who's going to blink first. They want the full broom loan back. But it's dating back years now. We've shifted loads of season tickets in there. Folk will be getting moved all around the stadium. As Ali says, the Dortmund allocation seems like a fair way to go. 3,500, 4,000, and then we get the same going there. But yeah, I just think that the more the time wears on here and the more that Celtic seem to want to stick with the give us a full broom loan thing, I don't really see where there's going to be where they're going to meet in the middle with this one. And I honestly do think it could rumble on for a while. I hope it doesn't. But yeah, I mean, look, siege mentality. We're not going to have any fans in there. I'd much rather we had 900 bears sitting in that corner, but it's not going to be the case. So we can still go there and do a job. And I think Clement will be telling his players that on the day as well.
I for one, want away fans in the stadium. I'm never saying that, oh, well, we should just ban them from the inability to come. I don't particularly like it. I think it takes away from the overall fixture. I think Rangers are... The way Rangers went ahead and just sold all the tickets without actually entering into proper talks with the SPFL and maybe Celtic, maybe was a wee bit of a bit ill judgment at first. I can understand why Rangers are doing it, because they want to generate as much revenue as possible. I completely understand that, but there should have been a contingency plan for it in case this, well, the inevitable backlash that was going to come. I'm the same. I don't understand why we can't have the European allocation. I don't know what difference it makes. It really doesn't, because it can be segregated, no problem at all. There's no real issue with it in that regard. If people would say, oh no, they're too close at Hampden, you're not very far away from them, do you know what I mean? And we manage that pretty much okay. So I think it's something that needs to be revisited, but it is going to rumble on and on now, and Celtic are just going to continuously play the safety concern card in terms of in terms of them getting tickets at Ibrox. But yeah, I'm not shocked that they've come out and said it now, but it's just one of those things that I wish would go away and we can come to some form of agreement and move on. Be it a 1,000, be it 1,500, be it 800, 900, it doesn't really matter, but we need to have away fans in these games to add to the spectacle of the Old Firm, because it's pretty much the only thing in Scottish football that is sellable. It's the only thing that we can sell to broadcasters to say, look, you're going to end up with that X amount of Old Firm games or whatever. But yeah, a real weird subcommittee thing that I just, it baffled me when I read that statement. I'm going, it's like, I don't even know. I can't even think of a superlative in life that makes me think of something like that. These people in these jobs, I'll take their job. I'll happily sit there and get paid fucking 70, 80 grand a year, whatever it is, to go, okay, to whatever somebody else says. It's, it's pretty bad, but it's not a great look for Scottish football. But yeah, there doesn't really seem to be an end in sight for it. So go there, Rangers, and silence the full of them. That would be tremendous. Score a couple and you'll be able to hear a pin drop, that's for sure. And you'll be able to hear Santa getting booed as well. So we'll move on to the St Johnstone game. Another must-win game, Ali. There's not really any great doubt about it. This is our game in hand. One of the games in hand anyway. And they're finding some form under Craig Levein just now. So what's your thoughts at the head of the game tomorrow night?
St Johnstone, since Levein's come in, he's got them organised, Carney. They don't concede a lot of goals now since he's come in. They've picked up a few wins as well. They've climbed the table now. I think the only real... They've only conceded, I think, one goal most games, apart from the Celtic game. And when you've seen that, Celtic scored two in the last 10 minutes, whatever it was. So they're organised, which you would expect under Levein. I don't expect them to come to Ibrox tomorrow, Carney, and have a go at Rangers. So strap yourself in for Levein Park and two buses there and trying to frustrate Rangers. I think it'll be a frustrating night tomorrow night. I think we'll need to stick in with the team tomorrow night. If we could get the early goal, Carney, which is the cliche, I think that would help us big still. But yeah, I think Rangers should beat St Johnstone tomorrow night because we've got better players. But it's going to be a tricky one. They're playing all right, St Johnstone. Like I say, they're well organised. We struggle with teams that are organised in terms of breaking them down. But I fully expect Rangers to win. But I don't think it'll be as easy as just St Johnstone, because, like I say, they're an organised team.
Yeah, they are. Jamie, I don't think there's any great shock that a Levein team's not conceding many goals. It's kind of what he does when he goes into a club. Right. He kind of stops them conceding. He makes them organised, and I agree. I think it's going to be a kind of a 5-4-1 we'll probably be playing against tomorrow night. I wouldn't imagine them to be really coming to Ibrox to try and give it a right go. They'll be trying to frustrate the crowd, all the usual stuff. But this is what these games are all about for us. When these teams come, we just have to find a way to break them down and win.
Well, it's a huge game tomorrow, because we know we can cut that gap to 2 points. So it's a massive mentality game for us. Yeah, as you say, Craig Levein, we know how he's going to come and set up. It's going to be almost a bank of 10 at the back end. I mean, the only thing that fills me with a wee bit more positivity about tomorrow is, I think if this game had been under Beale, I'd have been a wee bit scared about it. But we seem to move the ball a lot quicker under Clermont. So I think we can, I think we can get in behind a lot better. So yeah, no, I think it's going to be a Rangers win, but I agree with Ali. I think it's going to be a tough old night at Ibrox, I think.
I will take any win right now. I will take any win. I don't really care what win it is, just a win. I really could not care less. So on that, Ali, I'll come to you first. Give me your team for tomorrow night, mate, and your score.
I think he might make a couple of changes, can't he? Just, we've got a few games coming up before the winter break. So team, Button and goal, Tav, Goldson. I think Balogun will come out because I think he'll keep him for a Motherwell. So I think Davies will come in there. I was humming a horn about Yilmaz. Barisic at left back. Lundstrom, Sterling, Cantwell, Dessers through the middle, Seema one side. And I think McCausland was toiling at the end of that game. So I'm pulling him out and I'm putting Scott Wright out there. And I'm going to go 2-0 Rangers. First goal scorer will be Dessers.
Yeah. I think he will make a few changes as well. I think you're probably humming about the right areas. I'd imagine left centre half will probably change. I think Yilmaz might come in because I think they might sit in, and I don't think they'll be really trying like long ball antics or anything too much like that, because I would be tempted to lean towards Barisic for that, but no offence to Yilmaz, but he got leapfrogged by Balogun, so he's not a very tall man in terms of winning aerial battles. And yeah, I think Barisic has started to improve a bit. I think he's looking much more like himself. I mean, he got to the byline and got the ball into the back post for Tavernier on Sunday, which is a sight to behold. It really is. And I don't want to say this, but I do. The only other change that I can really see is, Scott Wright, McCausland. I think Lammers will play instead of Cantwell, because Cantwell made mention that he hasn't trained very much recently, and I think he'll bring Lammers back in. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Jamie, your team. My score, I'll also go 2-0 Rangers, and I'll go Dessers to score first. Jamie?
I'm not a million miles away from you guys here. I'm going Butland, Tav, Goldson. I think Davies will come in as well for Balogun, give him a rest. Yilmaz, for the same reasons as you, Scotty. I've actually put here Sterling / Jack, because I don't know if Ryan Jack's going to be back or not. He was kind of alluding to it a wee bit. So I think if Ryan Jack's fit again, I think he might chuck him in with Lundstrom. If he's not, it's going to be Sterling and Lurie sitting in. I think he'll play Cantwell, because I think he'll know it's going to be a stuffy old game against St Johnstone. And I think he knows he's going to need to unlock that defence. Desert through the middle, Seema on the left, and then I'm going with Matondo on the right in place of McCausland, because I don't think he's had a lot of game time recently. And I'm going to go with 2-0 Rangers and Desert to score.
Yes, I'm all for it. 2-0 absolutely suit me down to the ground. I'll be delighted to get a 2-0 win tomorrow night, that is for sure. So yes, for tonight, that will do us a mostly positive podcast. I think the only negative was the fact that there's no fans at Parkhead in the 30th, but such is life, can't always be positive. But no, it's been a tremendous week, really tremendous week. Ali, for tonight, thank you much. Thank you very much, mate.
No problem, looking forward to being back at Ibrox tomorrow night. I think the weather's to be dry tomorrow night, Carney, looking at it.
Dry-ish.
As long as it's dry, that'll do me. I think it's to be windy, but as long as it's dry. But yeah, tomorrow night, Carney, patience is the key, I think. Not just for the players, but for us in the stands as well. And you know what we're like? I'm murder for it. But yeah, we should have enough to beat St Johnstone tomorrow night. So as always, Carney, it is over to you, Rangers.
That is indeed. Jamie, thanks very much, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot, boys. Now, looking forward to going tomorrow, laying down a marker, getting back in this title race and going for it.
That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. We will be back tomorrow night with a club reaction after the game. Probably me and Alistair from the car, I would imagine. So until then, I hope you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, what remains. I hope your team wins on Wednesday, and we will speak to you after the match. Again, just a wee plug again for the live show. They say tickets are on sale. If you want to come see us, please do get your tickets. It'd be good to see you. And usual stuff, like, subscribe, or the usual jazz. And we'll speak to you tomorrow. We are Club at 22, the Rangers podcast. Cheers, everybody.